The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I just remember this all-out assault in my mind of God can't use you. Look at the things that you've done. Look what people said about you. Nobody's ever going to accept you in the ministry. And all of those reminders from the past, that words people had said, things that I had said about myself, all came back.
Kyle Winkler reveals his own struggles with insecurity, fear, and shame, and how he has learned to say, "Shut up, devil," next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Sheila Walsh is with me.
And, everyone.
I don't know what you're going through, but you're probably going through something. And, you know, the biggest thing that will help you in this process is the truth. So we're going to silence some of the lies. We're going to say, "Shut up, devil," because that's the title of a new book. We're excited to welcome Kyle Winkler to Life Today. Great to have you.
It is great to be with you and honored to be with you both. Thanks so much.
I discovered before there was a book, there was a Shut Up Devil app. So I downloaded it. It's free. And then, so I hit on, like, there's common issues. So I hit on depression. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head. And then you have a declaration. God is my shield and glory. He lifts my head high. What's the backstory to all of this?
It's my story, which is really what I elaborate about so much in the book. But as far back as I can remember, going all the way back to potty training, really, I just had this feeling that I didn't belong. I know now that that is a lie, but back then I just thought if I felt it, it must be true. Mm-hmm. And so that created a lot of insecurities in me to the point where I even was a preschool dropout. I cried and I cried until my mommy let me out of my preschool year. But in kindergarten, first grade, elementary years, I was so insecure and shy from that feeling that I just didn't fit that they thought I had a reading problem. They'd call on me to read aloud and I'd just freeze up. Nobody wanted to be friends with a kid that didn't talk. Mm. So I was the outcast and the loner and the one chosen last for about everything. So that really kind of, those feelings that nobody likes me cemented this identity in me of I am a reject. And that was another lie that I picked up to the point to where even when I became a Christian at 16 years old and fell in love with Jesus for how much he loved me, I realized that I related to God based upon how I related to people even. Wow. That because I thought I always had to try so hard to get people to like me or accept me, that I had to try so hard to keep God loving me and to keep God's acceptance. So it was a real performance-based Christianity that I lived with for like the next 10 years of my faith. Wow. Until I got to a point where I complained to God. I said, "God, why am I still feeling and dealing and struggling with the same insecurity and mind games and fear and shame as I did before I was a Christian in a lot of ways? What more do I need to do?" And that's when God really showed me it wasn't about doing anything more. As a matter of fact, that was creating all the more mind games because it was this, "He loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not," cycle of success and failure, success and failure. He said, "You need to start getting your believing right." Mm. And so he led me on this process of deprogramming my mind from all the lies that I had picked up and reprogramming my mind with truth. So the Shut Up Devil app, that was part of that. I had it created for me to keep truth in me in a way that I identified with. And then the opportunity came up to write a book to really expound upon the principle of it. And that's really what I take people through, is my story of deprogramming your mind from the lies that you picked up when life let you down and reprogramming it with truth.
I want to ask you about some of those lies, but I have a question. Sheila's the more tech savvy around here. But have other people started using the app?
Oh, there have been more than 250,000 downloads now. So the favor of God's really been on it. And as I said, I created it for me. And surprise, surprise, a lot of other people deal with the same mind games and fears and insecurities that I did. So it's really kind of taken on a life of its own.
So you actually would have some pretty good data on what people are, what categories they're clicking on, right?
That's right.
What are the big issues?
Fear, certainly. I think that's a universal negative emotion that we all face, that would be one of them. Also loneliness.
And that's surely been exacerbated by the whole pandemic.
You're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, because there's so much more to be paranoid about and to be worried about, at least in our minds. Mm-hmm. And then, as I said, the loneliness, I didn't necessarily see that one coming, but now that's actually even one of the top searched issues on Google.
Jeez.
Is people feeling lonely. And that, as you said, has also been exacerbated by the pandemic as well.
So walk us through some of the, you touched on some of the lies, but walk us through some of the truths that you had to reprogram to kind of get you out of that crazy up and down cycle.
One of them is so simple, but for years, I just couldn't really accept it for me or for others. And it was the lie that I am not unconditionally loved by God.
I think that's hard for a lot of people. We say we believe it, but do we actually grasp it? Because I think if we grasp it as 100% true, it actually totally changes the way you live.
Absolutely changes the way you live. Nothing can separate you, as the Bible says, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. But because of all of my rejection issues growing up, and the way then I went to relate to God as to stay loved by you, to stay accepted, to stay right and at peace with you, I therefore have to perform and have to achieve. I couldn't believe at that time that God could keep loving me even with the things that I thought were unlovable about me. I thought that there was always more I had to prove to Him. I didn't know who I was in Christ.
Did that hold you back potentially from ever stepping into the ministry that God had called you to?
It did, certainly. I had a call of God on my life from when I was about 17 years old. I discerned that call, though I never thought I was qualified enough for it. Definitely at that point, you know, I was so insecure. I had so much shame. I thought someone like me cannot be used in the ministry. So that led all the more to me living in fix-it mode and striving mode, ultimately trying to be someone that God already made me in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of this stress and all this striving, as I said, created all of these mind games so that when it did come time to step into ministry, I just remember this all-out assault in my mind of God can't use you. Look at the things that you've done. Look what people said about you. Nobody's ever going to accept you in the ministry. And all of those reminders from the past, that words people had said, things that I had said about myself, all came back. And really, it was severe warfare in my mind at that moment that I was stepping out.
I'm curious because, so we talk about unconditional love, and I think sometimes we confuse love and approval.
Yeah.
God doesn't approve of everything we do because He recognizes sin, and we should too.
Right.
But He loves us even, I mean, Christ died while we were yet sinners.
Right. Right.
Okay. So I think sometimes it's not just lies, right? It's like there's some truth.
That's a great point.
Right? And you talk about that.
Yeah, and I make that point in the book, and I call it the sneaky way the enemy gets into us, because he uses bits of truth, and that surprises people.
Well, he quoted scripture to Jesus.
But it makes it more palpable, because there's a little bit of truth in there.
Right.
He mixes it with truth. So he will come to you with things that you actually did do.
Right.
Things that people did say, maybe things that you do feel or you do face. And we will often easily swallow that because we say, oh, well, that is true. But he interprets that truth then, and that's where his lie is.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 10:5 says that what comes against us are arguments and lofty opinions. The arguments are those things that are true that the enemy brings up.
Yeah.
And then he turns it into an interpretation, an opinion about what that means about you.
Mm.
Oh, you did that back then, therefore, God can't use
you today. That's right, man, that's right.
One of the things I find most fascinating that you write about in Shut Up, Devil, is the way a lion kills its prey. I did not know that. That's fascinating.
The Bible in 1 Peter 5:8 likens the enemy to a roaring lion. It says, stay alert, watch out.
Yeah.
For your great enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion. And when I got studying the predatory behavior of a lion, it really blew open the revelation for how the enemy goes after us. A lion, according to wildlife experts, has a small heart and lungs compared to the rest of the size of its body. That means a lion is one of the slowest runners in the animal kingdom. So that affects how it hunts. It can't just look at a potential prey and go after it because it's probably going to get outrun in the long run. So what does the lion do? It studies. It determines mm-hmm. what is the weakness mm-hmm. of that prey, and then it finds the opportune time. And it prowls around waiting for that opportune time. And when it decides that I'm going to go in for the kill, it pounces, goes for the head, mm-hmm. picks at the head a little bit, and then ultimately it goes for the mouth. A lion kills its prey through suffocation.
I mean, that's just, I've never heard that. That's fascinating to me.
Isn't that how the enemy goes after us,
too? Absolutely. Silence is our voice.
That's right. It's our weaknesses, our insecurities, our failures, whether they're from the past or whether from the present, it doesn't matter. Huh. He figures out, what are those ways that I can wait to get them? Then at that opportune time, he goes for our heads, our minds,
yeah.
knowing that what we believe affects what we say about ourselves, mm-hmm. and the Bible likens our mouth to our beliefs about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's out to destroy our reputation in Christ.
Wow. That's cool. I think lions have really good night vision too, don't
that's
they?
That's right.
So they can hunt in the dark.
They do.
There's
lots
light,
of revelation
right?
there too.
Yeah.
And they come at you from an angle you don't see usually, at least its prey,
yeah.
usually from the
yeah.
back. So mm-hmm. sometimes you're like, where did this attack come from?
Mm-hmm. Mm. I saw that when we were in Africa one time. I was watching, there was an impala that got separated from the rest, and there was a lion. I wondered why the impala was frozen. I mean, almost, it was frozen. And I asked my guide, you know, because he pointed and showed the lion that was hiding in the bushes. And I said, why is it frozen? He said, well, the interesting thing is the impala can run faster, but it's frozen by fear.
Mm. Yeah.
And I thought, that's what's so interesting about our lives. That in Christ, we have the power to outrun. But sometimes we become frozen in our fear.
That's right. And in that verse there where it says, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. The name devil there, we don't necessarily see it in English because some gets lost in translation, but it's the word in Greek, diabolos, which means slanderer. Mm-hmm. And that's the act of making a false statement. So the enemy's roars, they're slander. They're making a false statement in order to, as I said earlier, destroy your reputation. But they have no merit, just like the lion's roars. Mm-hmm. Wildlife experts say that really there's no real substance behind them except for how loud they are as ground shaking, but they're actually mock roars meant only to intimidate. And that's what the enemy does too. We are in Christ. Mm-hmm. God calls us new. He calls us made right. He calls us made whole. There's nothing really for us to fear.
Yeah.
The enemy just really heightens his volume to make us think that he has more influence or more authority than he really does.
It's fascinating.
So this process of identifying these lies or half-truths, misapplications oftentimes, what sort of things, are you just going straight scripture? Are you going meditation? What are you applying to those to kind of purge them from our psyche so we don't function that way?
Yeah, I take a two-method approach, I guess you could call it, to silencing the enemy's lies mm-hmm. in our minds. The first is the defensive function, and that comes from 2 Corinthians 10:5, that we take captive those thoughts. And so that's whenever you feel an emotion or a feeling or you hear something in your mind or elsewhere, is you open up the Bible and you find a related scripture about what it says about you. And of course, it's powerful to read it to renew your mind, but it's even more powerful to speak it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As I talk about in the book, there's a chapter called The Mind-Mouth Connection, mm-hmm. where I discuss how God designed your mind and your mouth to work in a partnership that actually stops negative thoughts and redirects your thoughts towards truth. Mm. So that's the defensive function when you're under attack. But that verse also says to teach your thoughts according to truth. So there's an offensive function where it's actually a meditation process of proactively thinking and speaking on truth, even when you're not under attack, especially
that's
when you're
more
not
powerful
under attack.
When you think about it.
It's much more
yeah.
powerful, right? Because it keeps you built up so that when that lion is looking to yeah. come after you, he can't get you because you already know who you are and what you have in Christ.
Yeah.
So I go through a four-step, what I call the four R's of mind renewal to do that. Read what God says about you.
Yeah.
Reflect on what that means about you. Repeat it. Speak it over yourself. Use that mind-mouth connection. And then, or let's rephrase it and then repeat it. So read, reflect, rephrase, and repeat, so that you're actually laying down new pathways in your brain.
Literally. Science tells us the neural pathway, right? It's like a trail in a forest. You walk a new one, and pretty soon there's actually a trail there, and the old one's grown over.
That's right.
That's
because
amazing.
Those negative experiences you have in life, when you hear them one time, you feel them one time, they maybe create a memory. But as in my situation in childhood, when I heard it over and over again, it created that negative pathway. So whenever I even thought of something similar, I automatically went down, oh, I'm never going to be accepted, they're not going to like me. Yeah. But as I reprogram my mind intentionally with truth on God's love and on God's grace, then I was laying down those new pathways so that when those inevitable things did come, they didn't go down to the negative places they used to, but they changed my expectations more according to God's goodness and positivity.
There's such an intentionality about this that I find incredible, because I mean, years ago when my life kind of fell apart, when I got right down to the foundation stone of my soul, my belief was, you're too broken to be loved.
Yeah.
And suddenly acknowledging that that's what I believed and then countering it. But it takes, I think sometimes we forget we're in a spiritual battle. You know, we just think, well, Jesus loves me, so, you know, hopefully I'll get a parking space at the mall. Rather than the fact, no, we're actually in a battle. And we need to fight for our faith, to work out our faith with fear and trembling.
That's right. It's not an overnight process. You know, for most people, myself included, these negative patterns of thinking and emotions didn't happen overnight. So you can't really expect for you to be healed of it all overnight. It is an intentional process, but it is one that works, just as Romans 12:2 says, that we are transformed into the person that God says that we are in Christ. Mm-hmm. We are transformed from the inside out by the renewing of our mind, by changing our thoughts. And that's not a one-time declaration when you're feeling good on New Year's Day. That is a constant morning, noon, and night process.
Yeah. And you're sitting here telling us it can be done.
Yeah, I'm the proof. I mean, there I was, the preschool dropout, the kid that was afraid to talk, the one chosen last for everything. And now I'm taking opportunities to be heard and seen by thousands and open myself up to criticism and everything else that comes with it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do this if I weren't changed.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't. Can I jump back to one point real quick? Because you said something that I think people need to understand. And you said we take these thoughts captive, right? I know a lot of people that get stuck on the, oh, I had a negative thought, therefore I'm a bad person. I had a bad thought. I had an angry thought. I had a lustful thought. Do you think that those are, that's the devil, and then we choose what to do with it? Or are we already condemned for having the bad thought?
No, that's absolutely the devil. That's the slander. He wants to use things that maybe you do feel or do face or do experience. You can't control every thought that comes into your mind, but you can keep it from getting into you, from defining you. You know, the very heart of the gospel is that when we said yes to Jesus, Romans 3:22 says that we are made right by our belief.
Yeah.
That doesn't change. Yeah. Regardless of what thought comes into you, regardless of how you stumble, you had a DNA change the moment that you said yes to Jesus. You are now a child of God. So people will write into me all the time and say, I'm battling with this, I'm dealing with that, I fell to this. What does that mean about me? I say, it means nothing about you.
It's what do you do with it?
It's what do you do with it? So take that thought captive and start to speak about what God says about you. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am loved unconditionally. I am made new in Christ.
Yeah, that's good.
This book is really going to help you. And I'm going to tell you in a minute how you can get hold of your own copy. And download the app, Shut Up Devil. I mean, I've used it 3 times in the last day or so. It's really been awesome. But first of all, we care very, very much here at Life, as you know, about children who have zero access to clean water. What should be a source of life becomes a cause of their death. But we can change that. Please watch this.
These worn paths provide routes for people and animals alike so they can make their way to water sources. The problem with that is in most villages, families have to share the very same water source with the animals.
Animals drinking. And sad as feces, these ladies are here washing. And you can see by looking at the water that, you know, it's you wouldn't want to wash your clothes in it. But they do. But the problem is people drink this. And it's absolutely 100% contaminated. and it is killing people here in Africa.
It is hard to imagine the impact these polluted water sources have on a person until you take a look at the facts. The lack of safe water is one of the world's largest causes of illnesses. And even more tragic is the fact that these waterborne illnesses are one of the leading causes of death for children under the age of 5.
These people are doing absolutely everything they can. They get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. They walk as many hours as they have to find some water, and it's not clean water. They cannot do anything else. They've done everything they can, and now they are helpless and in many cases hopeless. So I'm asking you, would you join your voice with our voices, and let's make a difference. They need water wells. They need to be able to have fresh, clean water in their villages so that moms don't have to spend half their day walking and walking to find water that is filthy, contaminated. And once we've seen this, we dare not forget. It's a privilege, not an obligation, to change their lives. Let's do it in Jesus' name. I can't tell you what it's like to be walking those dirt tracks with these faithful moms who love their children every bit as much as I love my darling son. And they get up, as I said, at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, and they walk a long distance to come to this hand-dug well, the only access for miles. It only goes about 6 feet deep, and it's filthy. You know, I remember the first time I saw a child bringing up a bucket and then taking a glass. It took everything in me not to knock it out of his hand when I realized how ridiculous that is. You don't have the right to knock it out of his hand until you're willing to replace it with something else. And that's what we are about here. We're not just going to say, oh, how terrible this situation is. We're going to say, you know what? You and I get to be the answer to this horrible situation. And honestly, as long as we are God's children on the earth at this time, we have this glorious privilege. I mean, when I think of some of these moms who I sat with beside the graves of their children, and the only reason these children died was because the only access they had was to filthy, contaminated water. And I promised them, I will come home and I will tell your story and we will make a difference. And Randy, if we all decide to do our part, we can change the situation in so many areas.
We can. We know because we've seen it. We've done it with your help. And this year, we want to do it again. We're hoping to drill 350 wells or more, perhaps, in 20 nations this year. We can only do it if you join with us because we're his body, and we're different parts. We've got parts on the ground in Africa and some other places around the world. We've got, of course, Sheila and I here. We're talking about it on television. But you're a part of that, too, and we can't do it without you. $48 will basically give 10 people water for the rest of their lives. That's the way it breaks down. The average well is $4,800. If you can drill a well and with a $4,800 gift, do it now. Goodness, some of you may be able to do more. But the rest of us, we come together, we partner with each other, And we make this possible. Your gift of $144 right now will basically give 30 people water for life. And Sheila, you know, we have seen what happens when we go in and there's that fresh well. The children dance, they celebrate, but it's not just the excitement of water flowing out of the ground. It's the excitement of knowing that they have something that they can drink that won't kill them, because most of them have lost siblings. I love what we can do, and I want to do more of it.
I know, so please, just call now. Just go online and make a gift, or go to the phone and give the very best gift that you can give, and we'll do that too, and together we will bring water for life.
Across the globe, hundreds of thousands of lives are lost each year to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the God's Daily Promise devotional set. These four seasonal devotionals each contain a daily scripture, inspirational message, and room to journal your prayers and insights from God's Word. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Faith, Hope, and Love coaster set. All four beautiful sandstone coasters come in an elegant natural wood holder and artistically display the words of 1 Corinthians 13:13. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
This hand-dug well is full of contaminated water. It's the only source of water for this village. The mothers and their children, they come out here every day with their buckets and they gather water. And the mothers know there's a potential that this water will kill their children because there's all sorts of, you know, animal dung in here. Someone told me that snakes get in here. Mosquitoes lay their eggs, and so many of the children in the village have malaria. I just talked to a mom who lost her 12-year-old son because of malaria. But this is the water that is killing these children, and that is why they need a well, a drilled well that will go down deep and give fresh, clean water. This should not be normal for any child. And we want to give them a new normal in Jesus' name. Fresh, clean, safe water.
I hope you are going online or going to the phone right now and making the best gift you can. We can make a difference. And today with any gift, if you request Kyle Winkler's book, Shut Up Devil, we gladly send it to you. Kyle, what do people just need to take with them today to know the truth?
I want people to know that a lot of times we come to the faith trying to fix ourselves of things, trying to get right before God, or trying to earn God's love, or trying to earn God's acceptance. And we do a whole bunch of things to try to do that. But I want you to know that it all starts with your right believing. Right believing is what leads to right behaving and right living. And one of the great truths for you to really set your mind on today, like there's no better truth, is that God is good and He absolutely loves you.
That's awesome. Powerful. Ask for your book, and let's just end the program by saying this. Shut up, devil. Thank you so much for being with us. We loved it.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time on Life Today.
And He comes after you, not to reach down and pull you out of the pit. He is the arms at the bottom of the pit holding you.
Anne Voskamp, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.